If you're able, I invite you to stand with me to 2 Samuel chapter 19. I'm sorry, 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2, starting with verse 36. First Kings chapter 2, verse 36 through 46. Then the king sent and summoned Shimei and said to him, "Build for yourself a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and do not go out from there to any place, whatever. For on the day you go out and cross the brook Kidron, know for certain that you shall die. Your blood shall be on your own head." And Shimei said to the king, "What you say is good. As my lord the king has said, so will your servant do." So Shimei lived in Jerusalem many days. But it happened at the end of 3 years that two of Shimei's servants ran away to Achish, son of Maacah, king of Gath. And when it was told Shimei, "Behold, your servants are in Gath," Shimei arose and saddled a donkey and went to Gath, to Achish, to seek his servants. Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. And when Solomon was told that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and returned, the king sent and summoned Shimei and said to him, "Did I not make you swear by Yahweh and solemnly warn you, saying, 'Know for certain that on the day you go out and go to any place, whatever, you shall die?' And you said to me, 'What you say is good, I will obey.' Why then have you not kept your oath to Yahweh and the commandment with which I commanded you?" The king also said to Shimei, "You know in your own heart all the harm that you did to David, my father. So Yahweh will bring your harm on your own head. But King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before Yahweh forever." Then the king commanded Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and he went out and struck him down, and he died. So the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. So thus far the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and inspired word. Please be seated. So last week we were in 2 Samuel, quite a few chapters back, and you might have been wondering, so, wow, this guy really likes to skip around. Well, actually, we're continuing on where we left off with 2 Samuel, mostly. So where we are now in the book is Shimei was the man that cursed King David. There was a time in King David's life when his son, Absalom, tried to take over the kingdom. He was actually out looking to kill King David and established his own dynasty. And so as King David was leaving Jerusalem and his son was coming into Jerusalem, and be probably about half a day's distance, as King David is leaving Jerusalem, he goes past the mount, over and past the Mount of Olives, and he's headed towards, Give me a second. These senior moments really bug me. The Jordan River. He's headed towards the Jordan River, and he's by a town called Bethuthim, I believe. And that's where this man Shimei lives. Now, Shimei is a relative of the previous king, King Saul. And so he's related to, he's from the same tribe, And he's not very happy with King David. Basically, he's blaming King David for why King Saul is not king in Israel anymore. But the truth is that King David is innocent of any wrongdoing whatsoever. But, you know, Shimei's not going to be convinced with that. But you can find it in 1 Samuel chapter 15, who actually got rid of Saul, King Saul, as king. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 26, Samuel, the prophet, said to Saul, "I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of Yahweh, and Yahweh has rejected you from being king over Israel." So King Saul, Israel's first king, God had ordered him to remove King Agag and all his people, because Agag and all his people had attacked Israel when they were coming out of Egypt. Israel had said, "Please just let us go through. We're going to stay on the road. We're not going to go rummaging through all your stuff. We're not going to steal from you. We're just going to be going. God has called us to go to his land that he promised us in Canaan." But the Amalekites with King Agag said, "Nope." And he built up an army and they attacked him. And God said, "Then I'm going to curse these people for attacking my people." And so what he had told King Saul, the first king, is, "Okay, I've set things up for you. I want you now to devote them to me." And when you read in Scripture this idea of something or someone being devoted, you'll read it translated as devoted to destruction. Because when something is devoted to God, who is a spirit, so how does he say to do that? Well, he says, if it's a creature, man or beast, then it says, if it's devoted to me, you kill it and you burn it, and the smoke goes up as an offering to me. And that's what he told King Saul to do. And King Saul didn't quite do what he was told. And so what we just read was that God himself, Yahweh, said, "Okay, Saul, you're gone. And now I'm going to make David king over Israel." But you see, Shimei, he didn't really believe that, because King Saul was his relative. So he chose then to believe a lie and not believe that King David should be king. So he's fighting King David. And as King David then is leaving Jerusalem, he's going to the Jordan River, and he's passing where Shimei is. Shimei, as you recall last week, hurls verbal abuse down on King Saul, or King David. In other words, he's cursing David. He's blaming David for all the blood on King Saul's house, which God actually brought on King Saul himself. So he's cursing King David. And it's important for us to remember this, that the king is the direct representative of God. He's the earthly direct representative of God on earth. So when you're talking to the king, that earthly king, you are talking to God's representative. You might as well be talking to God. That's the connection. And starting with King Saul and moving on, whenever you talk about a king, he's referred to as the anointed or the anointed one. So the king then is the anointed one. And the word that we have translated from the Hebrew, anointed, well, that word is what? You guys all know, don't you? What is it? Messiah. Messiah. So the king, right? The king over Israel is the Messiah. So he's of that time, he's the Messiah. And that's who they're dealing with. So think about what just happened with Shimei. He is hurling curses and verbal abuse on who? God's Messiah for his people at that time. He might as well be hurling verbal abuse at God, because there is no difference. So then, what do you think? What should happen? Well, I'm pretty sure you all know, but we'll go on. So Shimei was throwing this verbal abuse. David goes on. He doesn't kill Shimei, but that's what Shimei deserved. He deserved to be executed for cursing God. He did it through God's Messiah, but he still cursed God. But what King David did at the time was he pressed on. As you recall from last week, he goes, you know, I haven't been a really great leader in past, and so perhaps God is using this man to rebuke me. Because that same word translated cursing could also have this idea of rebuking. It's just a matter of degree, right? And who you're doing it to. And the words you're going to use as well. But you get the idea. So David was aware, you know, all that's been happening has been my fault. So yes, this man may be cursing me personally, but God is using him, just like God would use a donkey to talk to his prophets, right? Balaam. But God is using Shimei then to rebuke King David. And King David realized that. And he said, okay, let him curse. And then King David moved on. Later on then, Absalom gets killed in a battle. The son trying to kill his father is killed. Now King David is returning to Jerusalem. And when he returns, what do you think happens? Well, one thing that happens is Shimei, who's been in Jerusalem, now he knows King David is coming back. King David is coming back to the throne. He's coming back in power. So Shimei's going, I think I remember what I did sometime in the past. And that's not good. So what do you think he does? He runs over to the Jordan just before King David comes over the Jordan to come back. And Shimei says, well, sorry about that. Well, he didn't say it that way, but you get the picture. But what's going on after that is King David does not kill him again. But instead, he gives him grace. Many years go, and then King David's dying. And now King David is talking to King Solomon, his son. And that's where we are this morning. So when we read what happened this morning, as you recall, King Solomon sends Shimei to Jerusalem. Now Shimei is in a town called Bahurim. It's a few miles away, closer towards the Jordan River. That's where he was hurling insults and abuse at King David sometime in the past. But that's where he lives. But now, King Solomon is sending Shimei from his home. He's uprooting him, and he's moving him to Jerusalem. That's where we are this morning. So you might be wondering, why did King Solomon do that? Why did King Solomon move this man? I mean, he could have had him killed, but he didn't. Why did King Solomon move this man? Well, if you're a king, it would make sense to do so. I think, was it Abraham Lincoln that said, keep your friends close, send your enemies closer? Maybe it wasn't him, but that idea. Well, that's, if you're King Solomon, he's pretty wise. And so he's saying, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. I'm keeping an eye on this guy. So he's going to keep Shimei in check. He's going to keep an eye on him. And why is he going to do that? Well, because it was pretty obvious whose loyalties Shimei was directed at. It wasn't towards King David's line. That would include Solomon. Instead, it was towards King Saul, who's now dead, and that family. So he would like nothing better than to have a relative of King Saul to be king of Israel. So he's still got that going on. He may say with his mouth to King Solomon, or to King David, sorry what I did, but, you know, let bygones be bygones. But in the back of his mind, he's still thinking, but if I get a chance, I'd sure like to take you out. So he's still a threat. And we know he's a threat also because, now I didn't read this. Actually, there's quite a lot of things that we could have read this morning and I'd still be reading it, so to spare you, I'm just giving you a quick synopsis. But there's a time then when Shimei comes and he's standing before King David, falls on his knees, King David's coming back, and he goes, and he apologizes, and he isn't alone. He comes with 1,000 men. Shimei, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, from Bahurim, hurried to come down with the men of Judah to meet King David. So this is when King David's coming back, and now he's going to try to get in good with King David. And with him were 1,000 men from Benjamin. So when Shimei came, he came with 1,000 men. Now you're probably thinking, okay, 1,000 men is a lot, but David's army could handle that, and that's true. So why would the text bring that out? Because 1,000 men isn't nothing either. And it's there to let us know that Shimei himself had backing. And if he had backing, then he had friends that had backing as well. So he still had allies for the house of Saul, for King Saul's people. So yeah, would it make sense then to keep an eye on Shimei? You bet. And where else would you put him? You bring him into Jerusalem, because that's where King Solomon is now. So that's what's going on. You've got Shimei, who has moved now, and he's moved from his home, and he's moved into Jerusalem. And he's not just going to stay for a few days. As we read earlier, he has been ordered to stay there, and just within the environs, so probably a few hundred yards, maybe quarter of a mile, maybe less. This is his new home for the rest of his life. So King Saul is going to keep an eye on him. So yeah, he's being kept an eye on. He's being looked at. But there's also another way of understanding what's going on here. So Shimei could have been executed, and King Solomon would have all the right to do it. So why didn't he? Why didn't God tell Solomon, go get him killed right now? Because he's a threat to the kingdom. He's a threat then to the line that will eventually bring the Lord Jesus Christ. This man Shimei is a threat, then, ultimately, to the salvation of the world. So why not get rid of him right off the bat? And we could use a simple word, and that word is grace. And if you think, wow, why would God give grace to someone that's that much of a threat? Why would God give grace to someone that hates his Messiah? Because Shimei did hate God's Messiah of that time, and ultimately then, the true Messiah. It's grace. He didn't kill him, yet. He gave him grace. But you'll notice that when we read what's going on, he says, when, if, and when you leave Jerusalem, and he talked about it in a way of saying, when you cross the brook Kidron, and it doesn't mean that Kidron surrounded the whole place, but he's saying, if you leave, whatever, that's the day you encounter yourself a dead man walking. So stay there. But see what's going on. Shimei is allowed to live. He's allowed to live. He isn't instantly executed. He is given grace. Now, when we hear the word grace, we often think, okay, God's riches at our at Christ's expense. Redemptive grace. And that's how we as believers have received grace. But if you recall from Noah's time, when God said, you know, the heart of man is wicked all the time. So he put his bow in the sky, his battle bow in the sky, and said, look, there will be a time I will take my bow down again, and I will destroy the earth, but not with water. But in the meantime, there'll be summer and winter, springtime and harvest, rain and no rain, on the whole planet, for everybody, the righteous and the wicked, because the rain falls on both God's people and those that are not God's people. And that's a grace as well. So unbelievers get good things, even though they definitely don't deserve it. And that's what we see here, a picture of that kind of grace. Common grace given to Shimei. But it's also important to note one thing about that. This common grace going on everyone. For the wicked, grace is ultimately a suspended sentence. Grace is ultimately, for the wicked, a suspended sentence. How do we know that? Because one day the Lord Jesus will return. And for believers, it'll be a great day. Right? The great transformation. These old bodies given new ones. The earth will be renewed. All that. But that same day when Jesus returns is a day of judgment. It's a day of disaster for those that said, no thanks, I think I'm good. Well, you're not good, you're wicked. And God will call you on it. So for the wicked, grace is ultimately a suspended sentence. Allow me to read out of Psalm 92, verse 7. Though the wicked sprout like grass, and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. Now, this should be an encouragement, and you're going like, wow, this sounds kind of scary. Well, yeah. But it's an encouragement because what happens to God's people? Oftentimes, the world doesn't look kindly on us. And what we might want to do is say, well, I want to get back. I want to get even. I don't want to put up with this. What does God remind us? Who's going to take care of it all? The Lord. because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. I'll take care of this. All goes back to this. For the wicked, grace is ultimately a suspended sentence. So Shimei then, when he's put into house arrest for all intents and purposes, he's being put to the test. And the way that King David, as he's dying, it's the last things he says, by the way, to King Solomon. He says something to his son. It's in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. Let's read verse 2, chapter 9. I invite you to turn there. And give me a second while I try to focus. Now, therefore, do not hold him guiltless. This is King David talking to Solomon, his son, who's now the king, concerning Shimei. Now, therefore, do not hold him guiltless, for you are a wise man. You will know what you ought to do to him, and you shall bring his gray head down with blood to Sheol. So what it sounds like is David's getting back at Shimei for what Shimei did to him. But if you're thinking that, I would caution you that's not really what's going on here. David is talking to Solomon, and he's saying, look, be careful what you have with you. You've got an enemy, and he lives with you. He's amongst your people. So don't leave him unpunished. And the idea behind that is, this is a man who is guilty. He hasn't been executed for a crime he should have been executed for. So it's not like he's, you know, guiltless. Oh yeah, he said he was sorry. And King David didn't kill him at that time. But if you go back and read that in 2 Samuel chapter 19, you'll understand why King David didn't execute him then. Because King David said, today, I'm king again. It's a great day. The kingdom has been saved. There's salvation in the kingdom. It's a time for joy, not for executing. There is a time for executing, but not now. And that's why Shimei wasn't killed then. But he's still guilty. He's still untrustworthy. So don't leave him unpunished. He's got to account for cursing God's Messiah. And then he says to Solomon, you'll know what to do. And as we can see, Solomon did know what to do. Shimei, take all your stuff and move into Jerusalem. And without saying it, King Solomon says, and I got my eyes on you, buddy. And that's what he's going to do. And then, really what Shimei is given is the opportunity to obey and live or disobey and die. So again, he's given grace because obey and live, it's just that simple, right? Here's your boundaries. You're living in Jerusalem. It's not a bad place, even though you don't like the king, but it's not a bad place. And look at it this way. If your heart's in it, if you really do love God, this is where you have to worship. This is where you do worship. This is where God will say later in a short time, the temple will be built there. This is where you worship God. This is the place. I mean, how much better does it get? But in verse 9, The last part of that prophecy, the last part of that sentence is this, and it's more woodenly translated here by me. You will bring his gray head down to the grave in blood. He's saying you, Solomon, will cause this man to be killed, to be executed. And it sounds like, wow, you're going to do that. But don't forget who's talking to whom. King David is talking to King Solomon. And King David was a prophet as well. And so he's actually saying, you're going to set this up. You're going to give him a chance. But we know who this guy is. He's basically saying, this guy will get out of town and hurt himself. He'll cause himself to be killed. And so that's what's going on here. Shimei's given a chance, and now we have time, and we see what happens. So Shimei showed his hand. He showed the way he thought. He showed where his heart was. So in verses 39 and 40, get my coat, my things here. I have to use this sheet because I can't read too well anymore. In verses 39 and 40, it happened at the end of 3 years that Shimei's servants ran away. And what did Shimei do? He chases after them. Let me ask you this. If you were put in that kind of restriction, what would you do? You know King Solomon's watching you all the time. He's got spies. You got two servants, and yeah, they skip town. Would you just say, okay, I'm going to write them off because I don't want to go out and get killed? Would you do that? Or would you do what Shimei did? Here's what he did. He broke the command. He broke Solomon's command. Have I not commanded you? Didn't I command you not to leave town? And he did. And not only that, you made an oath to God that you wouldn't leave town. So he broke his oath to God. And also, he knew in his heart what he was thinking. You knew in your own heart when you went against David, and you haven't changed at all. So then, because he broke that code, he broke that oath, he was executed. But he brought it on his own self. He was given grace by the king. And what did he do with it? Instead of giving grace to those guys that took off, his servants, which he could have done, what did he do? At the risk of his own life, he says, I'm not going to let these guys get away with that. And he chased after them and came back and was killed for it. So it's something for us to think about. Where was this man's heart? He was given grace by God. What did he do with it? We've been given grace by God, and by God's grace, we've trusted him. But not everybody does. So in one sense, it's important for us to think of this as a precautionary tale. You know, Solomon, the son of David, he is now the Messiah king in this text. But he is the Messiah king then, in that line of the Davidic kingdom. He points to David's greater son, the greater and ultimate Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where this is taking us as well. So Solomon points us to what he's done, points us to Christ. So what does Christ do to the world today? He gives the world grace. He tells everyone in the planet, build a house for yourself in Jerusalem. Build a house for yourself in Jerusalem. Come to the Lord, in other words. Seek the Lord. Seek the heavenly Jerusalem. Seek the new heavens and the new earth. That's God's call to every person in the world. Dwell with the Lord is what he's saying. God has made us to dwell with him. But because we are sons and daughters, naturally of Adam, we don't want to do it. But God in his grace says, come. Come and dwell with me. Turn from yourself. Turn to me. Stop being rebellious. Bend the knee. Come to me. Don't neglect the grace given you. So if you haven't done it, trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Be saved from the wrath to come. Don't turn away from trusting in the Messiah. Otherwise, you will surely face death. And not the kind of death only that Shimei faced. He faced physical death. But there's a worse one, isn't it? It's called the second death, God's eternal wrath. And for we that are part of God's kingdom, where we say that, yeah, the heavenly Jerusalem is our home, then, just as we saw this morning, don't let your heart depart from it. Shimei departed and paid for it. Don't let your heart depart from the Lord. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the grace that you have given to us. Not just common grace, but we that trust in your Messiah, who is our Messiah, we have received redemptive grace, grace upon grace. For you've poured it out upon us, for we would have turned it away, just like Shimei. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, for pursuing us, for giving us that redemptive grace. And Father, we who have been given all that, who have been given much, help us then to proclaim the riches given to us. And in that way then, we proclaim the grace of God that your elect might hear and turn to you and join us. And now as we prepare to partake of that table of grace, the Lord's Supper, we thank the one who has said it, the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's his body and his blood that we feast on. For it is through his work, his righteousness, that we dare come and enjoy and look forward to the day when this token that we partake in now will be full and joyous, known as the wedding supper of the Lamb, when the Lord Jesus returns. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. So let's prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper, shall we?